answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
The chairman has denied your assertion of privilege and directed you to answer, but you nonetheless refuse and stand on privilege despite the existence of the pardon. The committee will have to consider after this hearing what appropriate action should be taken against you for the failure to testify after being directed to do so. It's against the law to obstruct an investigation of Congress. There will be repercussions to your refusal to testify today.
That is Senator Rand Paul today speaking directly to Dr. Fauci, as he took the Fifth Amendment, which he is entitled to do. I want to stress that over and over again. It is a constitutional right. You do not have to speak in anything that would incriminate yourself. But I want to re-stress to you, that is not an admission of guilt of any type. You have that right. You can imply that they're suggesting that they are guilty, but you cannot apply that reasoning directly. And Senator Rand Paul promised there will be a contempt vote taken because you did invoke the Fifth Amendment. Now, I know how it will go along party lines, but I don't know how valid it's going to end up being. There are going to be a lot of legal snarls back behind this storyline. But the bottom line is today, Dr. Fake just refused to answer anything. And he began his opening statement chastising Senator Rand Paul, saying, I'm only here because he wants to embarrass me. That's not true. We want answers. And yes, we want to hold you accountable for what happened that you made happen to the nation and our families during COVID and the lockdown. When you had already acknowledged, according to diary entries, that you knew in your own diary that it was right out of the Wuhan lab. I told you before, I have no issue with us understanding weaponization of a virus and then how to combat it because an enemy could use it against us. But you do not ask a foreign adversary like China to do it for you. But that's exactly what Dr. Fauci was doing. We're going to have more on the Fauci testimony later. Welcome to hour number two, Larry Connors, USA, July 29, 2026. With Larry Connors, USA, we're here every Monday through Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. And reminding you, wherever you are, you can hear this program. We have two great FM radio signals, but by the FCC restrictions, they're limited as to how far they can reach. And at this time of year, there's a lot of atmospheric distraction. Other stations riding over us, and we probably ride over them at some point. 101.9, 94.1, great FM signals. But the best way to make sure you can stay in touch, get the app for your phone. Download it for free. Go to the app store listed on your phone and search Newstalk STL. You'll find the app, download it, and when you open it up, whatever we have on the air at that moment, you'll be listening to, which would right now be, well, thank you for joining us. Larry Connors USA, glad to have you. And of course, all the other programs we're airing. It is a constant live stream. This is how my daughter in Florida listens. This is how some friends I have in Europe listen, using the app. Or pulling up the podcast later. A podcast of every program is posted later at Newstalk STL, LarryConnorsUSA.com, LarryConnorsUSA Facebook. And reminding you, when we're on the air like we are right now, we are streaming video. You can watch the program. Welcome in. You simply go to Newstalk STL Rumble, Facebook or Twitter, LarryConnorsUSA Rumble or Facebook. And with Larry Connors USA, you're always going to get news, analysis, commentary, and education. And in particular on that point, Justice Scalia made a testimony before Congress in 2011 regarding the Bill of Rights. You will want to hear what he has to say about that coming up later in this hour. But there's a lot of report going around, and depending on the source, CNN even has on its page right now, it'll probably change by the time you open it up. If you do it right now, it'll probably change. A CNN survey. Americans doubt Trump is paying enough attention to the country's most important problems. They're always trying to deflect. Squirrel, you don't want to pay attention to the real life. Watch for the squirrel. And ironically, the CNN analyst Harry Enten was reporting on a poll that CNN took, not regarding Trump if he's paying attention to other problems, but where we stand regarding Iran.
Looking at all the news coverage, you'd be looking at all the polling of President Trump, and you would think that Democrats would be able to take advantage and be dominating Republicans when it comes to who is trusted to handle the Iran war. That, simply put, is not the case at all. I mean, these numbers are quite surprising. Trust Dems or Republicans on Iran? According to CNBC earlier this month, you'd think, okay, that's one poll. The Republicans trusted by 2 points. But then CBS News comes out yesterday, and what do you see? You see the exact same thing. Trump and the Republicans take the cake. They are trusted by 2 points on Iran. Now, one poll is one thing, but you put the two of them together, and you can see that the American people, simply put, are not buying what Democrats are selling on Iran. They still trust Republicans more.
That's Harry Enten on CNN, the very one that today on his page says, Americans are confused and lost. They don't think Trump is paying attention to the most important problems. Well, the most important problem for you will be you and your family. I would agree with that. Family first. But part of family first is making sure Iran never gets a nuclear weapon. That's what Trump is doing. And the Democrats have so many fires to put out around them. So they're always looking, where else can we start? And they start them, by the way. Where can we start this brush fire that would draw more attention? Creates some flame, a lot of smoke. And today, Trump made it very clear where we're going with Iran. Not specifically, but he said, we're going to beat the effing S out of them. You can fill in the words. You may not like such coarse language. I don't have an issue regarding this subject. I would have to plead guilty, to be quite honest with you. God knows, and now you know. But Trump said, we're going to beat the effing S out of them. And in the meantime, Saudi Arabia joined U.S. in striking against Iranian proxies in Iraq. And far as the Democrats are involved, in addition to trying to set fires around Trump, trying to distract from their inadequacy, they are self-destructing. I want you to go back and listen to, over the weekend, a Democrat Socialist officer, a Democrat Socialist of America Party officer was being questioned, do you agree with this? Do you agree? What do you want? And then a congressman's response, it just tells you these guys are clueless.
Abolish the Senate.
True.
Okay. Replace the presidency and Supreme Court as we now know them.
Yep.
Abolish ICE.
Absolutely.
Abolish borders and give amnesty to anyone currently in the U.S. illegally.
As a long-term plan, yep.
Defund the Pentagon.
Absolutely.
Abolish prisons, at least in large part.
Yeah, again, that as part of a long-term program, yeah.
Okay, so no prisons. Government or public ownership of most large corporations.
Yeah, absolutely.
Are those positions the Democratic Party should accept, in your view?
No, and I think the vast majority of Democrats do not. But, of course, we're a big tent party where people have different viewpoints. I think that the mainstream viewpoints are ones of, you know, making sure that everyone has a chance to get on the up escalator of the economy. And secondly, that everyone has a chance, regardless of who you are, where you come from, or the number of letters in your name. There are 29 in mine. Mm-hmm. And so I think those are kind of the big tent kind of priorities of the Democratic Party.
29 letters in his name. He's Illinois Democrat Raja Krishnamurti. I might have mispronounced it. Not trying to, but so be it. Maybe I missed a vowel or something here or there. But again, he said, no, that's not the view of our party. And yet it is. That's what the Democrat socialists are pushing. That's what Mondami is pushing. Every one of those. Get rid of the U.S. Supreme Court. Defund the Pentagon. Where the hell would you go with that? And he will not condemn it. He just said, well, that's not really the views of the full party. As I said, they are self-destructing. Give you another example. Michigan Congressman Shinar regarding ICE.
We must pass a bill in Congress to end qualified immunity. I brought a bill in Congress. There is one right now in U.S. Congress that a qualified immunity for ICE agents must end. And if necessary, ICE must be abolished because the ICE, as it operates currently, is out of control.
Yeah. So just abolish it. Just abolish it. That's a Michigan Democrat. That is the voice of the party. They will not speak out against the DSA. They just try to walk the line they can. Well, the chair of the Republican National Committee, Joe Gruthers, points out exactly what I just said. Democrats are self-destructing.
What the Democrats just did is they basically told the Iowa voters, we don't care about you. And think what's going on in Iowa right now. There's a competitive governor's race. There's a U.S. Senate race. There's two House races. And the Democrats are giving them the middle finger. They don't care about Iowa. They don't care about middle America. I think it's a huge mistake. But again, these Democrats just keep on giving us gifts every single day. That's why I've said, and I've talked with Newt Gingrich, even I was had in my office again this week, talking about how the Democrat Party is in the death spiral because of the radical leftists that are running it with no agenda. And they just keep on making some of these decisions, whether it's Troy Jackson or you're dumping Iowa as the first state in the country to host the primary. These guys are nuts. And that's why we're well positioned to win not only this cycle, but in 2028.
And that is exactly why they're having so much funding issues right now in the Democrat National Committee. I told you yesterday, and I've been running a commentary today, they are $2 million in debt. So they put their headquarters building up for collateral as a loan so they can get another $2 million. And they're telling vendors, don't send us any bills right now. Wait until after the election. Then you'll be paid. Oh, yeah. Then you'll be paid. As I mentioned in the commentary today, you'd have to be believing in the tooth fairy. And broadcast operations, if you're going to run a commercial as a political candidate or PAC group, money up front. Because if you let them walk away and say, we'll pay you after the election, they lose the election, they're not going to be found. Broadcast operations don't believe in the tooth fairy either. But again, it's not just Democrats. We have Republicans that are not helping. Ohio Governor DeWine, he is suggesting the president's order to end temporary protected status against 30,000 Haitians in his state. He said, Haiti is hell. You'll be sending people back to hell. You don't need to be deporting them. Now, we talked about earlier, maybe we need to find some way around this, but when you speak out against the president on basically trying to protect our nation, they came here on a temporary status. They've been here for decades. So we could send them to a third country. And we've talked about doing that as well. In the meantime, Democrats will use these illegals as they can to try to get into our elections. And voter integrity still is valuable. But here's another case where New Jersey governor is fighting against releasing details of possible illegals on their existing voter rolls.
The Trump administration is seeking, I believe by today, the list of non-citizens who are registered to vote and the approximately 400 that did vote. To what extent will your administration comply with the Trump administration's request in that regard?
As I have said, I am not in the habit of turning over private identifying administration information of the citizens of New Jersey. This federal government is weaponizing the government against individuals that disagree with them.
No.
They weaponized my private data against me in my election, and so I am working to protect people and their private data here in New Jersey.
Right, right. Now, she's already admitted that they had 6,000 illegals on their voter rolls, and at least 400 had voted recently. So they don't want to release the names, and they are protecting their identity? Well, how do you know who they are? Because you don't have a photo ID law in place, do you? And they're using the same verbiage that was created when it was true the government was weaponized against Trump MAGA supporters and many of you listening. That was weaponization. And you've got all these oddballs coming out of the woodwork that are supposedly inside the Democrat Party, like a man who does not believe in religion or Christianity for sure in Texas, James Tallarico.
I know personally that I've learned as much about my faith from Salman's tradition, from the Islamic mystics, from poets like Rumi, as much as I have from Christian authors and Christian writers.
You really learn more about your faith from Islamic mystics than you didn't learn about Christianity. And by the way, did you read the Old Testament? Did you learn anything from the Jewish leaders? These are the kind of the people they're putting up. And keep in mind, Mondami has made it very clear that he's aligned with a lot of these Islamic jihadists. He praises them. And that's why members who lost loved ones at 9/11 do not want Mondami on the 9/11 memorial event. And Mondami was questioned about that.
A number of people who are survivors of 9/11 are calling on you not to go to 9/11 memorial services. I wonder how you feel about the fact that they're trying to keep you away.
I will proudly honor the families, the survivors, the first responders forever impacted by that horrific terror attack by standing alongside them at this year's 9/11 commemoration, no. Reaffirming that we will never forget the solemn day felt by all of us who call this city home and, frankly, by all of us who call this country home.
Yeah, and then you'll turn around and embrace radical Muslims, jihadists. I want to remind you, not every Muslim is a jihadist, but every jihadist is a Muslim. And Mondami has no issue with embracing them. But at the same time, says, I want to stand alongside survivors of the most horrific terrorist attack to hit our nation, the world. You're looking for common sense? You're not going to find it there. I will tell you where you can find it. And that was what previous SCOTUS Justice Scalia had to say regarding the Bill of Rights. This will be very interesting, and you will learn. This is part of your education today. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Spring weather has everyone sneezing, even inside their home or building. Instead of saying Gesundheit, call Wellington Environmental to perform air tests to determine if mold levels are too high. Gesundheit is the same as saying bless you after someone sneezes, the German word meaning wishing you good health. Wellington Environmental can perform air testing that is simple, fast, and can identify issues keeping you from having good health. Wellington does the same for hospitals and nursing homes for indoor concerns. Give them a call. It's simple. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Tell Cindy, I need air sampling. They've seen it all. They can help you. Next time you hear Gesundheit, think Wellington, Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. John Beale Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call the John Bill to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Beal has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF, John Beal. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. VincentsJewelers.com. VincentsJewelers.com.
This is News Talk STL. This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
If you think that a Bill of Rights is what sets us apart, you're crazy. Every banana republic in the world has a Bill of Rights. Every president for life has a Bill of Rights. The Bill of Rights of the former evil empire, the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, was much better than ours. I mean it literally. It was much better. We guarantee freedom of speech and of the press. Big deal. They guaranteed freedom of speech, of the press, of street demonstrations and protests. And anyone who is caught trying to suppress criticism of the government will be called to account. Whoa, that is wonderful stuff. Of course. Just words on paper. What our framers would have called a parchment guarantee. And the reason is that the real constitution of the Soviet Union, you think of the word constitution, it doesn't mean a bill, it means structure. Say a person has a sound constitution, has a sound structure. The real constitution of the Soviet Union, which is what our framers debated that whole summer in Philadelphia in 1787. They didn't talk about the Bill of Rights. That was an afterthought, wasn't it? That constitution of the Soviet Union did not prevent the centralization of power in one person or in one party. And when that happens, the game is over. The Bill of Rights is just what our framers would call a parchment guarantee.
Just a piece of paper if you don't have the backing to go with it. Those are the words of now departed Justice Antonin Scalia, American jurist serving on the U.S. Supreme Court until his death in 2016. Passed away while on a trip in Texas. But that statement came from October 5, 2011, as he was speaking about the Bill of Rights, noting that every tin-horn dictator, as you heard him say, and the Soviet Union, former Soviet Union at that point, had written a Bill of Rights on paper. On paper. What does that mean? It's just as simple as taking your Bill of Rights. That's it. There goes your Bill of Rights. If you don't have something to back it up. Scalia, often described as an intellectual anchor for the originalist and textualist position in the court's conservative wing. Some have said he is perhaps the most influential jurist of the 20th century. I would tend to agree. He was certainly one of the most important justices in the history of the Supreme Court. And again, serving as an associate justice from 1986 until his death in 2016. He had also served prior to becoming that as a teacher. He graduated Harvard Law School, became a law professor at the University of Virginia, later served in the Nixon and Ford administrations, became an attorney general under President Gerald Ford, spent most of the Carter years teaching at the University of Chicago, becoming one of the first faculty advisors of the Federalist Society. It was 1982 that President Ronald Reagan nominated Scalia as judge of the U.S. Circuit Court District Columbia Circuit. 4 years later, Reagan appointed him to the U.S. Supreme Court, becoming the first, and I know Vic Percelli will appreciate this, the first Italian-American. What about it? But he became the first Italian-American justice on the U.S. Supreme Court. But his position was, deal with the Constitution. That is where we need to focus. Once again, the testimony of Justice Scalia.
So, the real key to the distinctiveness of America is the structure of our government. One part of it, of course, is the independence of the judiciary. But there's a lot more. There are very few countries in the world, for example, that have a bicameral legislature. Oh, England has a House of Lords for the time being, but the House of Lords has no substantial power. They can just make the Commons pass a bill a second time. France has a Senate. It's honorific. Italy has a Senate. It's honorific. Very few countries have two separate bodies in the legislature equally powerful. That's a lot of trouble, as you gentlemen doubtless know. To get the same language through two different bodies elected in a different fashion. Very few countries in the world have a separately elected chief executive. Sometimes I go to Europe to talk about separation of powers. And when I get there, I find that all I'm talking about is independence of the judiciary, because the Europeans don't even try to divide the two political powers, the two political branches, the legislature and the chief executive. In all of the parliamentary countries, the chief executive is the creature of the legislature. There's never any disagreement between them and the prime minister, as there is sometimes between you and the president. When there's a disagreement, they just kick him out. They have a no-confidence vote, a new election, and they get a prime minister who agrees with the legislature.
And that's pretty hard to understand at this end of our world, isn't it? You can't just kick out the president. You have to go through a process as set in our Constitution. And we have the checks and balances. The executive branch, the legislative branch, and the judicial branch. Scalia making it clear that all of them work together. And if you're looking at an issue where sometimes reference legislation, you can't get things to move forward between the parties that are in control of either and or both houses and or the White House, and you end up with gridlock. Well, Scalia says, don't look at that as necessarily being a disaster. Now, you've got to listen closely to understand the reasoning on this. Because, granted, if we have, like, say, the Election Integrity Act that's currently, quote, in gridlock in many ways, because we have too many wanting to fight against, quote, election integrity, because they don't want election integrity. They want the ability to mail in ballot after ballot after ballot with fake names, dead names. They don't really give a damn. They want to control the election. I say we, and that will include you, no doubt, want fair elections. It's like a sports tournament. When the buzzer sounds or the last inning is over, the last strike, that's the game. No, I want to go ahead. You can contest it, but the game is declared. And even if some technical issue came up later and they said it shouldn't have happened, it does not change that game. It's in the books. What we do in our nation is we fight and wrangle our way through these legislative hurdles. But within that, you might find gridlock. And the former Justice Scalia said, take some solace in gridlock.
I hear Americans saying this nowadays, and there's a lot of it going around. They talk about a dysfunctional government because there's disagreement. And the framers would have said, yes, that's exactly the way we set it up. We wanted this to be power, contradicting power, because the main ill that beset us, as Hamilton said in The Federalist, when he talked about a separate Senate, he said, yes, it seems inconvenient, but inasmuch as the main ill that besets us is an excess of legislation, it won't be so bad. This is 1787. He didn't know what an excess of legislation was. Unless Americans can appreciate that and learn to love the separation of powers, which means learning to love the gridlock, which the framers believed would be the main protection of minorities, the main protection. If a bill is about to pass that really comes down hard on some minority, they think it's terribly unfair. It doesn't take much to throw a monkey wrench into this complex system. So Americans should appreciate that, and they should learn to love the gridlock.
Justice Scalia, from testimony before the U.S. Senate Judiciary Committee, October 5, 2011. He makes it very clear. And we've always acknowledged that. We might not always like the outcome we get from either the legislation or the U.S. Supreme Court. There are rulings I don't like. There are justices I thought would go one way and they've gone the other way, and I don't like it. But that is the law of our land. And you want confirmation on how effective Scalia was? The Senate debated his nomination just briefly and confirmed him 98-0. One committee member in the Senate said, I regret I did not oppose Scalia because, quote, he was so effective. Because he was effective. Do you know who that was? Here's part of your education. The senator making that statement was Joe Biden. That's a badge of honor for Scalia. Coming up, we'll go back to the hearings today where Rand Paul and the rest of us watch Dr. Fake squiggle and worm and quote the Constitution and his right to the Fifth Amendment. But we also know what's yet to come.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
When insurance companies know you're represented by Under Law, they know Under is not going to let you be pushed around. Their reputation is built on years of courtroom battles. If you suffer an injury or damage to your property, serve the insurance company notice. You have Under Law on your side, a St. Louis firm you can trust to protect you at every term. Don't settle for less. You want to win? Believe me, Under wins. Under, O-N-D-R, underlaw.com. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. When I have business clients or guests from out of town, I often take them to Cafe Napoli. I know they're going to enjoy any of the Napoli locations. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, next to Napoli C, Napoli Kirkwood, or Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Excellent food and intellectual conversation, if they bring the intellectual conversation. NapoliSTL.com. NapoliSTL.com. You should know that when I endorse Wellington Environmental, it's because I believe and know they will do you right. Wellington takes pride in providing homeowners and businesses whatever they need. You need some dustless blasting? They will take care of that. You need some mold remediation? They can do that. They take pride in training their team to perform multiple services and having the equipment ready to get jobs finished. That's important to you. You make just one call, and you call a company that's been around for more than 35 years with more than 45 technicians in the field. Most of you know finding good workers, then having them show up on time could be difficult. Not for Wellington Environmental. They're there at the designated time, ready to go. Check them out to see what they could do for you. Dustless blasting or anything else you need. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Given Senator Paul's obvious obsession with calling for my prosecution, his repeated slanderous comments about me, his publicly releasing my unredacted personal diary aimed at embarrassing and intimidating me, the sole reason he is calling me before this committee is to get me to say something that could vindicate his repeated public pledges that I end up, in his words, quote, behind bars, unquote. Therefore, although it pains me to do so, because of the respect I have for the legislative branch of government,
right,
and my decades-long record of cooperating with Congress, under the advice of my attorneys, I will invoke my right under the Fifth Amendment of the Constitution to refrain from answering your questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. You're just trying to embarrass me. It's all personal. Now, I would say, with all due respect, Dr. Fauci, don't take it personal. But anytime somebody says, don't take it personal, oh, you should take it personal. And yeah, it is personal. Because it involved our lives, disrupting our lives, our children, their health. Maybe some of your loved ones died during this confusion and mass weaponization of science by Dr. Fauci. And this hearing primarily is to get accountability. Now, remember, Joe Biden, possibly using the auto pen, gave Fauci a pardon for anything he did in the government up to the day that Joe Biden left office. Does that pardon still exist going forward? The general consensus is no, it doesn't. You do or say anything in front of this Senate hearing that opens you up for prosecution on any level, there is no pardon. And that's why he was taking the Fifth. And I've got to caution you, as much as you might want to dismiss him taking the Fifth, he's allowed to do so. And I want to remind you, by taking the Fifth and not wanting to testify or answer questions, you cannot apply guilt against him. You can imply that he's guilty and got something to hide, but you can't apply that. You might want to, and we all think he did. And he's upset with some of his diary information being released, as we were reading some of it to you yesterday. I had dinner with Jake Tapper at my house. This is days after he'd told the American public, you should not have any little gatherings, even at your house. You might need to cancel Thanksgiving dinner. And he turns around and has Jake Tapper, the CNN anchor, at his house. And that was one of two times they did dinner at his house. And I never heard one word, not one, from Jake Tapper about going to Dr. Fauci's house during COVID for dinner. And I have yet to hear Jake Tapper and CNN respond to that point right now. And they should. They're going to try to look away. And they want you to look away. They'll be setting little brush fires here and there to try to distract you. They're already doing it. And so they go back to Trump and the Iran thing, claiming, and the gas prices. Don't forget that. I'm not saying they might not have some legitimate issues, but they refuse to look at where the real crack is in their facade. Senator Paul, of course, began the hearing today regarding Dr. Fauci.
Dr. Fauci, your testimony today is compelled by a lawful subpoena. As you know, it's a crime under 18 U.S.C. section 1001 to knowingly make a material false statement to Congress with a penalty up to 5 years of imprisonment. Understanding that you are under oath, the American people would like to understand your reasoning, your rationale for why you chose to fund the research in Wuhan. What was the reasoning? And are you sorry, basically, for making the decision? Would you, you know, like, given another chance, say, well, gosh, circumstances now, as I know it, maybe it wasn't a wise thing. Can you explain to the committee why you chose to fund this dangerous research in China?
On the advice of counsel, I respectfully decline to answer based upon my rights under the Fifth Amendment of the Constitution.
And he does have that right. Fauci invoked the Fifth Amendment more than 70 times in today's Senate hearing. And in some cases, it was almost laughable. You want an example? Well, let's go back to Senator Rand Paul regarding a question for Dr. Fauci.
In the red folder on your table is a copy of Section 192 of Title II of the U.S. Code. Your counsel has been provided a copy as well. That section makes it a crime for a witness appearing under subpoena to refuse to answer any questions pertinent to the question under inquiry. Do you have that in front of you?
On the advice of counsel, I respectfully decline to answer based upon my rights under the Fifth Amendment of the Constitution.
Let the record record that the witness has refused to answer whether there's a folder in front of him based on his Fifth Amendment right.
Because it might incriminate him? No, partly inside this guarantee of the Fifth Amendment is if you answer one question, you might be obliged to answer more. The Legal Information Institute says you can take the Fifth Amendment on certain questions, even if you did answer others, but you cannot pick and choose selectively within the same specific topic, or once you officially choose to testify in your own criminal trial, or any trial and hearing as we have here with the U.S. Senate. He wouldn't even admit there's a red folder in front of him. Oh, it got more circus-like as Missouri Senator Hawley pin Dr. Fauci down.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, nothing says honesty like taking the Fifth, huh, Doc? Let's try something. What day of the week is it today?
On the advice of counsel, I respectfully decline to answer based upon my rights under the Fifth Amendment to the Constitution.
What color tie are you wearing?
On the advice of counsel, I respectfully decline to answer based upon my rights under the Fifth Amendment to the Constitution.
What color is the carpet in front of you?
On the advice of counsel, I respectfully decline to answer based upon my rights under the Fifth Amendment to the Constitution.
Let's just get one thing straight. You don't have any rights under the Fifth Amendment because you've been pardoned, as you very well know. As the Supreme Court has been clear for a century and more, Brown versus Walker, 1896, when he has been pardoned, he may not stand upon his privilege. You know that. Your lawyers sitting behind you now shifting nervously in their chairs. They know it. This isn't about the Constitution. This isn't about the law. This is about contempt. Contempt for this body and contempt for the American people.
And he's on point to an extent. Again, he was pardoned for everything he did in his official duties up to the date that Joe Biden signed the pardon, or the auto pen did. Anything he committed then, even if it's brought up and proven now, cannot be held against him. But if he says anything in front of the Senate committee hearing that either shows a lie or that he never gave the full information, we have a new game entirely. I'll get into that in more detail, but let me share something else with you. Ohio Senator Bernie Moreno was grilling Fauci. He said, "Will you at least apologize to the business owners that lost their business? We apologize to the moms who had to force their infant children, 2 and 3, 4 year olds, to put masks on. We apologize to family members of the people who died because they did take your advice." And again, Dr. Fauci, "I take the Fifth Amendment." And Senator Moreno, Ohio congressman, Republican, said, "Who the F do you think you are? It's a total disgrace what you did to this country." I will add an amen to that. Now, regarding what he did do, does that mean he's just free and there'll be nothing else that can be done? Herein lies a quandary, and Senator Rand Paul laid out the beginning and the opening of the door.
"The chairman has denied your assertion of privilege and directed you to answer, but you nonetheless refuse and stand on privilege despite the existence of the pardon. The committee will have to consider after this hearing what appropriate action should be taken against you for the failure to testify after being directed to do so. It's against the law to obstruct an investigation of Congress. There will be repercussions to your refusal to testify today."
And by that, I'm reading from the Politico. Here's a way they take that case and run with it. Basically, Senator Paul is calling for a vote next week to indict Fauci on contempt of Congress. Rand Paul says you can expect consequences because you're exercising your Fifth Amendment, because you're obstructing an investigation of Congress. Politico and its writers point out that Fauci is in an unusual position. Biden did grant him a pardon for all of his official conduct up to 2025, meaning he cannot be subject to federal criminal prosecution. Republicans contend he cannot claim fear of prosecution because he has a pardon, so he should be able to answer the questions. The Senate could pursue criminal contempt, voting to turn the matter over to the Justice Department for potential prosecution. If you recall, two of the Trump aides, Peter Navarro, Steve Bannon, were convicted of contempt misdemeanors because they refused to testify in the January 6 committees. They were taking the Fifth or not even showing up. So there's a lot yet to be haggled out over this issue. It is not over. This is just the door opening. So Fauci might be out there lifting a glass of champagne with his lawyers. "We got through it." Well, actually, one of his lawyers, his prime lawyer, who wanted to sit at the conference table with him during the hearing, Senator Rand Paul told him, "You cannot sit there. Sit with the other lawyers in a row behind him." And he refused to move and he said, "If you open your mouth again, you do not move, I will have you removed." Well, the lawyer decided, "I can do it." And as soon as he opened his mouth, Senator Rand Paul instructed, "Remove him from the hearing." And they did. They kicked him out of the room, put him in a corner somewhere down the hall with a dunce cap on. Well, maybe not, but they should have. I did not have time yesterday to get into the words of praise that President Trump had for Senator Lindsey Graham.
Scripture tells us that blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life. For 71 years, Lindsey Graham was strong and steadfast. As a brother, a senator, a warrior, and a patriot, he withstood every last test, every single test that you can go through and every trial. And now he wears the crown of life in heaven, reunited with his parents and reunited with his Lord. I end by saying something very, very special. Lindsey, we love you. God bless you. We will always be with you. And you were very, very special.
Now, they did not always agree on every point. Now, a lot of folks look at Lindsey Graham as a hawk regarding Iran war. and Ukraine, and trying to push Trump way over the line. Others were saying, we need to hold Lindsey back. Don't let him have a full reign with the president. And speaking of the Iran war, I had mentioned in the first hour, did you miss the first hour? Shame on you. But I know you can't listen all the time. Pull up the podcast. Go to LarryConnorsUSA.com or Newstalk STL. But I pointed out that President Trump used some very striking, harsh, coarse Texas slang talk regarding Iran. Let me clarify this. The Islamic Revolutionary Guard conducted a surprise attack on U.S. forces based in the Middle East, trying to kill our men and women based in Jordan. So Trump is responding, saying, one, we successfully intercepted all of that, but now even though we've been in very deep talks with Iran, he added, and I'm quoting him, we're going to beat the effing S out of them. This is right after they tried to kill members of our military based in Jordan. And they're trying to do it elsewhere on a constant basis. I saw again the other day a young woman who had entered our armed forces, volunteered. She happened to be at one of those bases hit by a prior attack. She makes a second female soldier killed, doing her job, not there because of DEI, but because of, one, her commitment to our country and her ability. And she was killed. So can Trump say we're going to beat the effing S out of them? I say, yes, sir. Make it happen. They're going to learn one way or the other. As always, I thank you for listening. I thank you for supporting our sponsors. Call and thank them for supporting Larry Connors USA and News Talk STL, will you? We'll be back tomorrow night. And reminding you, of course, of our pledge. You should know it. You say it in our Pledge of Allegiance. One nation under God.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.